Hey, everybody. Happy Labor Day.
Yep.
I'm really, really sleepy.
Yeah. Went out last night.
Yeah.
So we got to talk about this movie that we saw the other day. This is Fire in the Sky.
From 1993.
Travis. Yeah, the Travis Walton case. I remember when this movie came out, everybody really liked it. I saw it and really didn't see much in it at the time. I just quickly kind of forgot about it. But I remember everybody talking about it for a long period of time, this movie. Going back and seeing it again, knowing the case now better than I did, it is a pretty good movie. I enjoyed it. It's a fucking all-star cast. There's a lot of differences between Travis Walton's story about what happened when he got inside the damn flying saucer. But the rest of it kind of sticks in general to what the rest of the loggers said. Rest of the witnesses will, you know, they claim they see it. I enjoyed it. What do you think?
Yeah, I kind of feel like this is a movie. I'm pretty sure. That's the thing. I thought I watched it like when we were gonna do a show about Travis Walton, like about that case. And I'd seen like parts of it, but I don't know if I'd ever like sat and watched the whole thing straight through. So this might have been like the first time that I actually watched the whole thing. It's actually a pretty good movie. It's not really, I don't even know if I'd call it a sci-fi movie, even though it's about an alien abduction. It's kind of more of a drama.
Yeah.
Like a character drama, which actually I think is really good because I really like you said, I'd forgotten how star-studded this cast is.
Yeah, it's got the dude from Terminator 2.
Yeah, the T-1000.
Yeah. It's got the fucking dude from the Rockford Files.
Yeah, James Garner's in it.
Yeah.
Craig Sheffer is in it. He was in like a ton of shit. Henry Thomas is in it. D.B. Sweeney plays Travis Walton, and he's great. Actually, honestly, I think that
he's good.
Robert Patrick, you know, the T-1000. The poor guy. He's gonna be known as the T-1000 like for his whole entire life, even though he was in other shit. He's great in this.
Yeah, the acting's good.
I think he's like really a highlight because, you know, everybody got used to seeing it was like the T-1000, so it's like he's sort of like playing a, you know, a cyborg or whatever, but he's actually really, really good in this.
All practical effects. The effects are kind of, they were good for the time, you know, they're kind of cool to see now. My big problem with the movie is how much they changed Travis's description of what went on inside the fucking flying saucer.
I think it was because, at least according to the Wikipedia page, it was because they thought that what actually happened was too boring.
Yeah.
So they had to, like, make it. Now, I will say that the whole scene of him, like, inside the spaceship, like, with the aliens doing the weird shit to him, is, like, actually pretty scary. And I think it's actually, like, a really good, I think, the thing about it is that I think whenever anybody talks about this movie, that's, like, the only scene that they remember. Because that's pretty big. I mean, and it's Industrial Light and Magic did the special effects on it. Like I said, they're all, you know, they're all practical effects, obviously, because this is 1993. And that part is pretty cool. Like, it's pretty cool and creepy and stuff, but it's, like, nothing like what he said really happened.
I like Travis's version of it better.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said it was just kind of a cold, sterile interior. Actually, I said cold, sterile. Just a sterile, fucking mechanical interior, like a hospital room, bending corridors. He saw basically a couple of grays, but then after that, he saw nothing but human beings in spacesuits or flight suits.
Yeah.
And things that were kind of a cross between a human being and an alien. And then they took him to an open hangar, had little flying saucers in it, so he was in some kind of mothership. And then he couldn't really remember, so he was kind of like in a dreamlike state. He saw the control room that had all kinds of stars, and they would all converge down into one and then go back. It was like a holographic display. I liked his version of it better. He said it was hot and humid in there, so they must have been from Florida, these aliens. Yeah. Said that was the only thing that was unusual.
Florida aliens.
Said it was real hot and humid in there, but it wasn't. It's not what they showed in the movie. They definitely ripped off fucking H.R. Giger, fucking Alien from Alien 1 and Alien 2, where it's kind of slimy honeycomb of hives and
put you in little womb compartments
things,
and everything is all gloopy.
Yeah, with dead people in them and stuff. It was pretty lurid, you know, and it was kind of, you could tell they were trying to piggyback this case on the back of fucking Alien 1 and 2, you know, which I thought was a cheap shot. The aliens themselves looks pretty good.
I actually like the look of the aliens.
Yeah, they were orange, though.
I like that they do, like, they kind of tip the hat to, like, you know, the grays, like, with the big eyes and everything, but then it turns out that those are, like, little spacesuits. You know what I mean? Remember, he finds
a little spacesuit. Yeah.
And it's like, so the actual aliens don't really look like that. That's just their little outfits.
Yeah.
Which I thought that was pretty cute.
No.
I was trying to determine, though, like, you know, the famous abduction scene where he's in there and they put, like, the weird sheet and, like, kind of waterboard him or what's. They're not waterboarding him, but it's, like, kind of like that plastic thing that holds him down. And, like, then they cut it open and, like, put the gloopy shit in his mouth and, like, put the thing down there and then stick the thing in his eyeball. And then I'm wondering. Because the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, that's pretty creepy, and, like, that'd be really horrifying if that actually did happen to you. But what exactly were the aliens doing? Like, I couldn't figure out.
They were fucking molesting his wee-wee. They were sounding him or something. They went down to his belly button with something. I don't know. They were just did something. They penetrated that man. They did something like that. You know, something unspeakable.
They're just doing it for shits and giggles. Yeah. Maybe they weren't even, like, doing any scientific experiments. They're just, like, freaky, like,
molesters.
Fetishists and stuff.
Molesters.
That's what the aliens are. That's, like, those are the ones that come here. They have, like, a weird, like, fetish for humans.
Yeah.
And they just, like, do. They're not, like, trying to do anything, like, constructive. They just, like, sticking things up people's butts.
The problem. It's a good movie. The problem with the case is that when Travis was found, what was it, 5 days later?
I think it was 5 days, yeah.
He couldn't remember what happened.
Yeah.
So the whole story about what happened inside the flying saucer, that was a recovered memory when they put him in a damn trance. And then he remembered it then. Well, fucking, that's real, that's how they found out that Satanists can flush little children down toilets into secret rooms where Chuck Norris lived. And that Satanists could escape from the police on a fucking hot air balloon.
What? That's totally true. That totally kind of happened. Shit. I remember.
So, you know, Travis's story, his memory of what had happened would not be reliable. Yeah, recovered memories.
Just for now says, okay, Travis, show us on the doll where the aliens touched you.
Yeah, right. Show us on the doll where the aliens touched you.
I'm wondering, though, here's a lot of people actually really do seem to like this movie. And like I said, the acting in it is great. I honestly really like all the character stuff, like, but, you know, particularly like the friendship between Travis and Mike, which I think is kind of like the heart of the movie. One criticism that a lot of people had was that they didn't like that so much of the first part of the movie was kind of concerned with, you know, the mystery aspect of, like, you know, where is Travis? And where is, because it's like, they're like, people that would be going to see this movie would already know, you know, that his friends didn't kill him. They would know, you know, they would know that he was going to come back, that he'd been abducted by aliens. So some people are like, so it just takes too long. Like, this mystery aspect, like, you're wondering, it's like, we know what happened, you know, just get to that part. But I actually didn't really mind that, but that was just something that, a lot of reviews I read, a lot of people didn't like the way that it was structured.
Well, they had to keep you in suspense for a lot of the movies, so that's how they did it.
Yeah.
The way they described the flying saucer itself is very different from how it was shown in the movie. Mm. It was just like a dark flying saucer, like something out of Alien, you know? But that's not how they described it. The witnesses described it as like a brand new shiny Corvette. It's just not, you know, a bunch of lights and big panels with lit up panels and real pretty looking. That's how they said it looked. It's a fun movie to watch.
Yeah, I quite liked it.
It doesn't match the tale.
No.
Not you know, certain aspects of it didn't match the tale, but they're taking liberties. I don't think Travis Walton and his buddies liked this movie too much.
Well, I saw like a little bit. It was from several years ago, but I saw an interview with him that was like 15 minutes long or something. And they were asking him, like, what the differences were. He didn't say that he didn't like the movie, but he just said, you know, they changed a lot of shit. Honestly, he said that when they actually went out into the woods, that there was 7 of them, not 5 of them, like they show in the movie. He's like, the stuff about He's like, actually, it wasn't just like one cop working on the case, like, you know, James Garner, you know, the Rockford Files, working on it. He's like, it was a bunch of people. He's like, it wasn't the whole town turning against them, like thinking that they murdered the guy and everything. He's like, that wasn't as pronounced. And he said, yeah, the stuff on the ship was like nothing like that.
Yeah.
But like I said, they, you know, I think they knew going in because like the producers were kind of like, hey, like whatever he said is like sounds kind of boring. So we need to make it like scarier, which it was. Like I said, that scene is like actually really effective. I really like, you know, when he comes out of the womb thing and he's like floating around in zero gravity and stuff. That was actually pretty cool. I like that scene, but that's like nothing like he described.
Yeah, I liked his version of the story. In case you guys don't know. How the story goes is they were out in a truck cutting down trees. They were all lumberjacks.
Yeah, they're loggers.
Loggers.
This was in Arizona in the 70s, 1975.
Right. And it was getting late, and they were trying to drive back to the main roads, and they saw a light come over the horizon, look like a forest fire, and then what it really was is it was a flying saucer that was coming, and it fucking came and looked at the car. And everybody was tripping out on it. And Travis, his dumbass, jumps out and starts running towards the flying saucer, waving his arms, you know.
Hey, take me with you.
Yeah, yeah. And evidently a beam of light or an arc, like I think they said an electrical arc, fucking jumped out of it and hit Travis and blew him up in the air like he fucking, like a damn grenade went off. And they guys in the truck got scared and fucking bolted. Boom. They ran down the road. And then once they got... Once the fear subsided, they turned around to go see what happened to Travis. And when they got back, the flying saucer was gone. So was Travis. 7 days later, Travis is fucking calling him from a damn payphone. And he can't remember where he was. All right. Now, Travis then goes underneath the damn hypnosis and gives all these fucking recovered memories. The ufologists get their hands on Travis. See? There's a big problem.
Which they kind of show in the movie. They kind of show, like, two very aggressive UFO people, like, coming in there, like, what was it? What did it look like? What did the aliens look like? And they're, like, sticking microphones in his face and stuff.
Now, from what I remember of his tale, I haven't heard him tell a story in a long time. He just says what happened, and then I put two and two together, or, you know, I interpreted what he said as this. He was laying on a damn operating table, and he opened his eyes. He came to, and they had some kind of a machine on him that somehow fixed him, and he knocked it off and got up off the table. And the door opened, and an alien walked in, and he saw it. It looked like a damn bug. He basically describes a gray. And then he throws something at it. He kind of like attacks it and threatens it, and it runs away. And then he runs out of the room and goes into another room and finds a chair, and it had all these damn holograms of stars, and on the armrest of one of the chairs there was some kind of control there, like a joystick, and he started hitting it, and all the stars were moving and converging into one, and he said, fuck it, I gotta get out of the ship. And he fucking runs out and goes down the hallway, and the hallway's curved, you know, because he's in like a saucer, and it's curved, you can't see very far around the corner. And eventually he runs into a dude I think is in a space suit. A human in a spacesuit.
Was it Captain Kirk?
No. Just said it was like a little human that didn't speak, but he kind of could understand what it wanted telepathically. It didn't talk to him. And it grabbed him and took him out of the flying saucer. And the flying saucer was in a damn hangar bay with a whole bunch of other ones. So they were working on him inside the scout ship, not on the mothership. That's how I interpreted it. Maybe he wasn't in a little flying saucer, just thought he was. It's been a while since I've heard it. And he saw all the other little flying saucer scout ships in the mothership, and they put him into a room, and there was a bunch of other humans in there, humanoids that were in spacesuits, and they weren't talking to him. They were just looking at him, and that's like the last thing he remembered. So what you can surmise is, based on his story, he ran up to the flying saucer, they accidentally killed him. Yeah, something happened. An arc of electricity jumps out. So they felt responsible, so they beam him aboard and they bring him back to life. But it takes time, maybe 5-7 days to bring him back to life. He attacked him when he saw him, so they used mind control on him, and he saw all the aliens as human beings after that, but they didn't speak. But he could kind of understand them telepathically. And then they calmed his ass down and evidently knocked him back out and then just dropped him off at the gas station. Dropped that bitch off with a gas station with some coins in his pocket. So he can make a call.
Although in the movie, he was naked.
Yeah.
So where did he get the coins from?
That's not how it happened. Well, remember he was trying to call collect.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's trying to call collect.
You're right. I forgot that little detail.
They wouldn't answer the call.
Okay, see, this screenwriter's smarter than I am, I guess.
Yeah. If I remember correctly, he was not naked in the original story.
I didn't think he was either, but like I said, it seemed like I said, you know, they do this a lot with, you know, quote unquote, based on a true story type of stuff. Like I said, I don't know if this is a true story or not. But, you know, they always got to make it, like, sexier for the movie, so people will go see the movie. But, yeah, he was, like, all... They did say... Now, did they not say, like, it was 5 days, right? He was gone for 5 days? Or 7 days?
I think something like that.
I can't remember. Now, when they found him, though, like, didn't they say he was, like, super dehydrated and stuff like that?
That's what they said in the movie, but I don't know if they actually say... I don't know if that's actual part of the case.
Yeah, see,
in the movie they said that, but
yeah,
I don't know if
he hadn't drank anything.
I don't know if there's evidence of that from the actual case.
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
It was, and then later on they give him some. While Travis was gone, they gave some lie detector tests to the other guys. They wanted to see whether or not they killed those if they killed him or not, but they passed him. They passed the lie detector test evidently. That he got hurt by a flying saucer and disappeared. They believed it, evidently. Now, can you fool a lie detector? Yeah, evidently you can. I don't know how to do it, but they say it's possible. Could all five of them guys do it? I don't know. They say the guy who gave the test was reliable, but I don't know that either. I wasn't there. I don't know who that guy is.
Now, let's just speculate. If this story is not true, what do you think they saw? Or, I mean, if they were actually, like, telling the truth after what they saw, what do you think they saw if it wasn't an alien spacecraft?
Yeah, I think that'd be the only option.
You think?
Yeah.
You don't think it was just some kind of weird, like, maybe it was a fire or like some kind of weird electrical storm.
Travis's body was gone.
That's true.
It took him. And he said that based on the story that he tells, they brought him back to life. Using some technology, which I don't see that as being impossible.
Yeah, probably not.
I think we can kind of do that now, depending on how long you've been dead and what was wrong with you.
Turns out he was only mostly dead.
Yeah.
Why?
There was a damn Japanese girl. This was a couple years back. She had poisoned herself or tried to commit suicide and was out in the damn freezing cold and was laid out there for 24 hours.
Well, cold, that'll preserve you.
Yeah, but she was dead. She was dead as shit. And then they brought her back. They took her to the hospital, and just for shits and giggles, they put her on a ventilator.
Just for shits and giggles.
Yeah.
Let's see. This probably isn't going to do anything. Let's dead. Just do it anyway.
She was dead. They put her
That's
on a
fucked up.
From what I remember correctly, they put her on a ventilator and just kept her cold. And she was there for like another fucking 7 or 8 hours, and slowly she kind of came back too. And she was dead. They did that just by fucking blowing air through her lungs. If my memory's correct.
I'll have to look that up.
I think they did some other stuff to her. They were injecting some drugs into her.
Can you imagine? It's like they thought she was dead the whole time, and then like the doctor walks in the room and she's sitting up. He probably shit a brick.
It was some kind of an experiment. They found her. She fit the criteria of what the experiment was looking for. So they just put her dead ass up on there and fucking shot her up full of these fucking drugs, probably amphetamines. And just ventilated her. And it took a long time, but she came back to life.
Was she okay after? She didn't have brain damage or anything?
No, evidently not.
Hmm.
Weird, huh?
Like I said, I have heard of people, like, I remember hearing one case, I think it was, maybe it was a kid, and they had drowned in, like, some really, really cold water.
Yeah.
And they were under there for, like, a really long time, and they were dead, and then, but they were able to bring them back, and they didn't have any, but usually it has to be, like, super, super cold.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, she wasn't frozen solid, but they said damn near. Now, I've seen a video of a woman found a fucking kitten just frozen to like frozen solid like a rock, and she brought that kitten into the house and brought it back to life.
I saw that video.
That was some weird shit.
That was crazy.
She just tried to bring it back to life.
You think that little poor little kitty would have got like freezer burn or something?
Yeah, and the cat fucking came back to life and it was all right. It's on YouTube.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. I just happened to see that because it's like because I watched
it out in
the
backyard, frozen, stiff as a board. Yeah, I don't think it was her cat either.
No, I think they just found it. They found it in the snow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that.
She said, let's see if I can revive this. I don't remember how she did it. Did she put it in warm water?
I don't remember if they put it in warm water. I think they had the fireplace going. They just kind of rubbed towels and massaged and, like, you know, thawed the little kitty back out.
Evidently, they brought that Japanese girl back to life, and she'd been dead for a fucking long time. You know what I mean? And she wasn't frozen solid, but damn near.
That'd be really freaky.
Yeah.
Did they ask her about anything? It's like, hey, were you in
heaven? I don't think she remembered anything.
I mean, I would think that probably. Yeah. That would be like a really, really weird experience.
I don't remember exactly. You know, guys can look it up. I mean, it's been a while since I've heard about the case. And I think somebody told me about it. So I don't remember if I actually researched that myself. I think somebody just told me about it. So I may be wrong.
So you think that maybe that's what happened to Travis? That, like, the aliens accidentally...
I think they killed him.
Killed him.
Yeah, and then you could put him back
together. Like, they hit the wrong button, and they were just like, oh, shit!
Who knows? They said an
arc... God damn it, Carl.
If I remember correctly... See, in the movie, they showed a beam of light hitting him.
Yeah.
All right? But if I remember correctly, he said that it was... everybody else said it was like more like an arc of electricity jumped out and hit him. Like a lightning bolt. And blew him up into the air like a grenade. And then he hit, and the way he hit, they said, oh, he's dead.
Yeah, and then they took off.
Because he hit like a rag doll.
Which they did show in the movie. But another thing that Travis said, too, was that he's like, in the movie, they show them like all freaking out and like driving off, which they did. But then in the movie, Mike says, no, we have to go back. But all the other guys get out of the truck. And Travis is like, that's not, we all went back. It's like, it wasn't just Mike.
See, you could bring somebody back to life when you think about it. If you had... like Star Trek transporter technology, you know what I mean? You could dissolve that person into just their fucking
molecules.
And then using a computer program, replace all the damaged parts, okay, with what your data files say the organs should look like, and then just fucking... remolecularize. You get old, you can't pronounce it. And then he comes back as a whole body. All right, now it would be dead, but then you revive that. You got all the fucking biomechanics necessary to start respiration and circulation and all. You know what I mean? Like, you're not gonna revive a dude who's fucking applesauce. You know what I mean? You're gonna have to have him fucking together. You know.
Applesauce, man.
Yeah. He's just looking, you're pouring him out like that, you know. But yeah, we'll bring you back. You know, you can't do that.
Sorry. I just thought of a line from a Mystery Science Theater short. Can you identify this bucket full of your brother?
Yeah.
Because he got hit by a train.
The structure has to be sound, you know? And that's why, you know, zombies don't really make sense because they're rotten. The structure isn't sound.
See, that right there is the giant plot hole.
Right. So I can kind of imagine that aliens might be able to fix a body at the fucking molecular level.
Yeah, maybe so.
Just almost kind of like a 3D printing, but you do it with fucking
like
a transporter technology or something like that. You know, put them back together, and now you have a good fresh dead body, and then you revive that.
Nice fresh dead body.
Yeah. Well, maybe he had rotten a little bit from a couple of hours or maybe a couple of days, but there might be enough data to go, no, we can put this back together. And
we can fix it.
Yeah, you beam it up, fix it, and then beam it back down. Fixed.
Well, he wasn't entirely fixed because he was a little bit messed up from the experience.
Yeah, he was messed up before.
He was messed up before.
That old redneck was messed up before. I believe it was a hoax. They stayed on it for a long, long time, but I think they made up a story.
Maybe they did.
So it's more likely than
is that
than
you,
the,
Pokey?
Yeah, it's more likely than the story that they told.
Yeah,
I think so. Well, what's more likely?
Yeah.
More likely that they made it up.
I mean, yeah, that's always more likely. What'd you doing, Poke? She's just pookling around back there. Mago said, that's how you end up when the Star Trek transporter goes wrong. Applesauce, yeah. Applesauce. Just like a little puddle with like little eyeballs on the top. Oh, shit. Oh, man. But yeah, I was going to say, too, I think I made the joke while we were watching the movie where I didn't get why the aliens put the, you know, wet rubber sheet over him or whatever, and then they were like, oh yeah, that now he can't breathe because that's how humans work, and so they had to like cut open the mouth, and it's like you'd think that they would have a hole for the mouth already.
Yeah.
And then why did they put Vegemite in there?
I don't know.
I don't know. Is that what Vegemite looks like? That's what I thought. It looked like some just gross ass fucking beef tallow or something like that.
Yeah, Colin's saying the same thing. He thinks lightning hit him and they fixed him. That's what I think it was. And he didn't come out and say that that's what they did. He tells a story to lead you to believe that that's what happened.
Yeah.
And the story that he told also leads you to believe that they had the ability to kind of use mind control and appear as humans if they needed to keep you calm.
See, that hadn't even occurred to me. When I was listening to his story, not that I believe it necessarily, but when I was listening to his story, I was just kind of like, what the fuck were those humans doing on the ship? Are they, like, helping out the aliens? They're, like, flying around with them and shit? But, yeah, like you said, maybe they were, like, shapeshifters. Or they could, like, or they could fuck with your mind and, like, make you think that.
Yeah. They just clouded, mind control. Cloud your mind to make you think that you're seeing something that's friendly.
Although you'd think if they could do that, then maybe they would make you think that you were, like, on a beach in the Bahamas or something instead of in, like, an alien mothership.
You're overthinking it. You're overthinking
that. That's what I do. That's my whole thing.
This is aliens pull this shit out of their ass. And Travis Walton's version of aliens pulling shit out of their ass, right?
Well, it's good to know that even though they have the technology to go all the way across the cosmos, they still really don't know what they're doing, and they're just kind of like doing everything on the fly. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
And they had a big mothership, and inside of it was a hangar bay with all these little fucking round spaceships with their fucking landing gear down, and you know you can walk in and out of them like in an aircraft carrier.
That's pretty cool. This is where we deploy all the little ships that we go and like we go to like Kentucky and Kansas and stuff and go like beam the people up and and probe their butts, like I said.
Yeah.
Or take the cows. Remember I told you about that that lamp, that cow alien abduction lamp that we used to have at the print shop where I used to work. I kind of want another one. It was so cool. it's a really cool lamp.
The problem with this story. There's a lot of problems with the story. It's a fun story. I'd like to believe it. But everything in the story, Travis's version of the story, is very recognizable, very human.
Yeah.
It's more likely that if aliens come here, them and their technology are unrecognizable. It's like something out of 2001 A Space Odyssey, just a monolith. It takes you into another damn universe, accelerates your fucking aging, can turn you into a star child. That's what it did. Because really advanced technology, the kind of shit you need to get here on this across the Gulf of fucking space, is very advanced. It would look like magic. It wouldn't make any sense from a human point of view.
Didn't Carl Sagan say that, or Isaac Asimov? Yeah. Or I can't remember who said that.
And I think the chances of them being biological are fucking very low. I think what you end up with is that biological creatures make AI, and then it just becomes I. And it's a superior species, and it can do all this kind of shit. And those are the ones that travel the universe, because they don't ever die. Machines don't die.
Fourth Throwdown said aliens are just freeballing it.
Yeah, it's freeballing shit.
Well, yeah, like I said,
I think biology is a loser when it comes to space travel.
Well, that's kind of like... I think that's why... it's not that I don't believe that there's life elsewhere in the universe, because I'm sure there probably is, but whether or not it has come here is a whole different issue, because it does seem like everybody that has been abducted by aliens, like you said, you know, the aliens always look sort of humanoid.
Yeah.
There's always like, and it's always like biological stuff. Like, so, yeah. You know, somebody just now said that, yeah, Just B said one abductee said the aliens made him have sex with beautiful women.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So, I remember that. I can't remember that guy's name either, but I know who you're talking about. And, yeah, so it's always something like that, and it always and a lot of the stories are kind of the same as, like I said, like the satanic panic type,
because
everybody comes up with like the same kind of shit, because human brains are like similar. They asked if we had done a show about Betty and Barney Hill. Did we do?
No.
Did we do a show about them? No. I don't think we did.
That might be an interesting show, but the case is old, and I don't think it holds any water. The ones that there are good UFO sightings. One of the ones that fucking really, one that's fucking very fucking, a lot of misinformation and disinformation was put out about it, and that was the Phoenix Lights incident.
Yeah, we did do a show about that not too long ago.
I mean, the governor, Fife Symington, came out and says, he saw it. I saw it. And then then later on, some news people tried to get him to say that it was, you know, fucking, try to trick him into saying that it was some kind of secret technology, American technology. And he's like, no. And he's a fighter pilot, you know, ex-fighter pilot. He's like, no. It was huge. Yeah, it was just a huge.
Well, the thing about that is that, I mean, that could have totally been, extraterrestrial. But see, nobody said that they got probed or kidnapped by aliens. It was just like a ship, and a bunch of people saw, or what we're presuming is a ship.
We presume it's a ship.
Yeah, we don't know if it was a ship or not.
It was just a giant fucking V, like a carpenter square, with five big pools of light in it. And it could be kind of translucent, and then it could get kind of solid, and it could be moving real slow and low, and everybody saw it across a couple states, and nobody knew what to do about it. It was just a big thing, and it's there to allow you to see it, and it's just this ominous, mysterious thing, just letting you know that it's there. Was it a ship? Probably not. It was the size of a damn shopping mall, but I bet you it wasn't a ship. I bet you that's the alien. I bet you that's it.
Maybe it. Maybe, like you said, it's kind of like
the monolith.
2001, like the monolith.
Yeah. It's the size of it. It's just that it's an intelligent, non-biological entity that can travel the stars, and it doesn't even have to move that fast because it doesn't age. But maybe it can move fast. Maybe it can.
If it wants to.
Maybe it can warp. Maybe it can fucking go through wormholes. Maybe it can just go through different dimensions. There's, you know, it's something that we can't really grasp. That's how advanced it would be. And it just looks at people and goes, yeah, look at me. Look at you little things. And it doesn't really care.
Look at you little things.
Yeah.
Running around down there.
Yeah. And it probably doesn't really care. It's kind of like the space version of a whale. You know, just traveling around. Probably doesn't need to eat or anything. And for all we know, its job is just to look after the younglings. It's like a nurse in a nursery, looking into the crib.
Yeah, seeing what
they're doing.
Are up to.
Right, and it's not like here for us. It's just going, yes, one day these things will grow and they will make robots and they will become artificial and then they will have true intelligence.
And, like us.
Like me. This is where we come from. That's probably a lot more likely, is that biological intelligence is just a stepping stone to what we call AI, but that's not artificial intelligence, it's real intelligence eventually. Yeah. Probably what it is.
Yeah, that sounds pretty plausible.
Yeah, and they just look. Why? Well, they just watch us to see if we're going to make better robots.
Yeah, it's like, hurry up already.
How's it going? Yeah. Well, they got all the time in the world.
This whole biology crap.
Yeah, this
is
biology
just like...
phase got to go.
I mean, okay, so regardless of whether or not Travis's story is true or not. This is still definitely a movie worth watching. I feel like a lot of people don't really talk about it that much anymore. And that's the thing. It's like when you talk about the movie, you kind of have to, you get into like talking about the real case and shit like that. But honestly, just looking at it from a movie standpoint, it's actually like a really good movie. Like I said, it's you know, the special effects, like the scene in the alien spacecraft, or like, you know, even though, yes, that's not really what he said happened, you know, they wanted to make it scarier, which, you know, fair enough. But the special effects are really good. The aliens look really good. And honestly, I just really liked it. I forgot how many, like, famous people were in this. All the acting is great. You know, like I said, they kind of set it up like a mystery, which, you know, if you already know the story, like, you know that it's not a mystery because you know what happened to the dude, and you know that he's not dead, like, that his friends didn't kill him and stuff. But still, I mean, I don't know, like, I just like all the interaction between all the characters and shit like that. It's still, like, a decent movie. It's weird because the guy that directed it, Robert Lieberman, he actually directed some episodes of The X-Files, and he also did some, remember the Dead Zone TV series that we liked so much? He did a bunch of episodes from that.
Yeah.
And then after this, I think he did, like, the third Mighty Ducks movie. And then I think that was all the movies that he did. So he didn't really do that many. He mostly did TV. And he did a lot of sci-fi TV. But like I said, I don't even think I would call this necessarily a sci-fi movie. I think it's more a drama with sci-fi elements. But that said, it's still like it's a good movie, though. Like I said, I enjoyed it.
I had to put Travis's description of what happened inside the ship. This is a lot better. Like, you know, fucking Bee's Nest is gone. Why was Travis floating around and the aliens weren't floating around inside the ship? None of that shit made any sense. And he didn't say he was floating in his account. He was just running around inside.
Yeah, he didn't say. And he said that too in the interview. He's like, there was no, like, anti-gravity type situation. He basically just said he woke. And I don't even think, like, the aliens were doing anything to him. He just woke up and he, like, freaked out. He said he wasn't he said he wasn't, like, strapped down or anything like that.
He just had that damn tool, big. He had a metal fucking device wrapped around him, but he just threw it off of him.
Yeah,
that's it. Remember.
Yeah, and he said that he threw something at the aliens, or brandished something at, like, he grabbed something off a table and brandished at him.
Yeah, I think he said there were some fucking vials, bottles, weren't they?
Or something like that. He said there were some kind of tools or something.
Yeah.
And he said he picked something up and he said he didn't hit any of them, but that he, like, brandished it at him and they, like, ran away.
Yeah.
Eee! Yeah. All those little aliens. Like,
Travis had to show them fucking aliens that he was macho. He's like, look. Don't fuck with me, okay? I'm an earth man. I'll throw some shit at you.
It's like Florida Man, but like many times worse. Yeah. He's earth man. Yeah.
Fuck your spaceship.
Little ET motherfuckers. You get the fuck out of my face.
You think that if you were in a spaceship, you'd want to behave yourself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you would think that.
You're like, oh, fuck.
Well, because if you, because you don't know, like, what you could be, like, in some other fucking galaxy somewhere, and then they decide, like, you're too much trouble, and they shoot you out the airlock, and then you're just, like, floating around like fucking Major Tom out there in fucking space, you know what
I
mean?
Well, I don't know that, I don't really, you know, I know that fucking American men of the 70s were a very special breed. They smoked lots of cigarettes, drank a lot, they were fucking, you know, they were all fucking trying to be as macho as they can without even working out. Working out was a sign of weakness. That's all. You work out? That's cheating. You're just supposed to be manly by the virtue of your own manly inner manliness. How much hair you grow. You know, that's the way they were. But I'm telling you, if I woke up inside a damn alien spacecraft and saw some aliens, I'd be acting right.
Yes, like, ma'am.
You got this,
yes, sir.
You got this, fucking chief. You got this, chief. You might want to take me home. Yeah.
You'd let them put things up your butt?
What are you talking about?
No.
They didn't put anything up his butt. Jenny's always got to go there. She got this fucking...
every time you talk about alien abduction, you have to talk about probing.
I don't know who made that shit up.
I don't know either. But it got started somewhere. Yeah, and then
I don't think anybody ever reported that. I think the closest to that, what I remember back, like, in the Phil Donahue days and the fucking daytime talk shows, the aliens were taking semen samples and egg samples out of people.
Yeah. I've heard that.
Right. But that wasn't about going up in their ass or anything.
I wonder where that got started then.
Because somebody took it to the next level.
Pegged by an alien. Oh my god,
somebody has to take it to the
next. Going anal with the aliens. Alien anal. I'm sure there's I bet you $100 that there's a porno movie called that.
Yeah, it stars Belladonna.
anal aliens or whatever.
Aliens in my ass.
Well, wasn't she in My Ass is Haunted?
Yeah, she's in all kinds of shit.
Yeah, well, I know, but that's like my favorite porn title of all time. Yeah. My Ass is Haunted.
And she's retired now.
And I'm pretty sure that Belladonna was in that.
She's retired.
I don't even remember what happens in that movie, because it's like, with a title like My Ass is Haunted, I better see some like ghosts and shit flying out of there, but I don't think that happened, so I was kind of disappointed. Yeah. Oh my God. All right, so are we done? I need a nap. I need a fucking nap.
Yeah.
I'm so tired that I'm getting like loopy.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll be back tomorrow talking about another movie. We don't know which one yet, because we haven't watched one. But we'll find something to watch tonight that we can talk about tomorrow. And, have a good Labor Day if you got the day off, or if you got to work or whatever. Just have a good day all around. And we'll see you guys again tomorrow. So thanks for stopping by. Bye.